So today's Yud Shvat, and the theme of today is Basi Lagani. Very briefly, the Rebbe used to expound one chapter of the original Maimer of Basi Lagani that was delivered by the Friedrich Rebbe on Yud Shvat. So the Yud Shvat releases a Maimer to be published for Yud Shvat, which is his Hilula, turns out. And that Maimer is regarded as the last will and testament. And it comprises of 20 chapters, and it was released slowly in the course of the first year of Avelus. And so, as I said, every single year, the first Maimer that ever delivered in Yud Shvat was based on the first chapter of Basi Lagani, and then subsequently, every year, on one of the chapters of Basi Lagani. So we're like we're 8 years into this next cycle, and we only have a limited amount of time. So I made photocopies for you of an excerpt of that chapter, the eighth chapter, and then an excerpt of one of the memorandum that the Rebbe delivered on that particular chapter, which happened to be 1978. So this is only an excerpt, and it's just, you know, to the best of my ability, just to give you a little taste of what Basi Lagani is about. So near the beginning of the first eis, the Friedrich Rebbe begins to quote the writings of the Arizal. That in Kisvi Arizal, there's this teaching about the word tzedakah. That the word tzedakah is tzedek hei. It's made up really, could be divided into two words. Tzedek means righteousness, and hei. And Arizal says, from ois dalad, we create a hei. Dalad turns into hei. And this is in consonance with the teaching of our sages, says the Friedrich Rebbe, a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, that says that Gimel Dalad, that there's a code in Aleph Beis. Aleph has its message, Beis has a message, Gimel has a message, Dalad has a message. The message of Gimel Dalad is Gemoyel Dalim. You should give to the poor. A Dal is a poor person. Gemoyel comes from benefaction or giving, like the idea of Gemilas Chasadim. So Gimel Dalad is Gemoyel Dalim. You should give to Dalim, give to the poor. So the Friedrich Rebbe is connecting the Gemara that says that Gimel Dalad is Gemoyel Dalim to the teaching of the Arizal, that tzedakah is tzedek hei. And the Arizal says that from dalad you make a hei. Shahadalad mekabel mehagimel, that the dalad receives from the gimel, and when the dalad receives from the gimel, nasa ois hei. So, in other words, the Friedrich Rebbe says, how does tzedek hei work? How does the dalad become a hei? And the answer is, thanks to the gimel. The Gimel gives, and thanks to the Gimel's benefaction, the Dalad turns into a hay. Sounds very Kabbalistic, but it is. This is Arizal's writing. Avol besitra achra. However, he says, when it comes to the dark side, when it comes to the husk, the shell, that which is created for extraneous purposes, it means to an end, rather than it is an end in and of itself, which is the idea of Klipa, the opposite of Kedusha. So when it comes to Klipa, we have from a Resh, which is from the letter that represents Klipa, we have the letter that the Resh turns into a Kuf. So there's this notion that Sheker, that falsity, Ein Lo Raglayim, it has no legs to stand on, and that the Hebrew words Shin, Kuf, and Resh, which make up the word Sheker, which make up the word falsity or lies, are all on a point. The Shin comes down to a narrow point. The Kuf comes down to a narrow point, and the Resh comes down to a narrow point. Whereas the letter is MS has, so to speak, a broad base. It has two legs to stand on. Aleph has two legs to stand on. The Mem is a flat base, and the Tuf also has two legs to stand on. So we have this idea, which is talked about in the Maimer. So Dalad, the Friedrich Rebbe is now connecting, Dalad turns into a Hey, but Resh turns into a Kuf. The Kuf, the Hebrew letter kuf is very much like a hey. In the letter hey, the legs are equal. When it comes to the letter kuf, so the left leg dips. It goes down below. It's not equal to the one on the right. The Friedrich Rebbe interprets that as this is the idea of Ragleha Yerdes Mavis. Ragleha Yerdes Mavis, quite literally, is a mystical concept, or as explained in the mystical notion, that the level of Malchus, which is the final level of the ten Sefirot, goes down, so to speak, or invests itself in a toxic situation, in a negative situation, in what's called Mavis. Mavis is the opposite of life, where godliness is not felt, known, or seen. So the Kuf represents dipping beneath the line, going beneath the surface, but not in a good way. That which, so to speak, people say he fell between the cracks. Kuf falls between the cracks. It goes, it falls low. That's the idea of the Kuf. Vahu, and this is in consonance with a very interesting and hard to understand teaching, but there's a Gemara that says, and all of this obviously is euphemism and metaphor. Yarad Gavriel, v'noatz kona bayom. The Malach Gavriel descended and he inserted a staff or a rod into the ground. The olav b'sirtan, and that began to grow and proliferate. The olav nivne krach gadol, and upon it was built a great city and a great empire. So this refers, and Rashi adds, shehu meitzel Yisrael, that he brings misfortune to the Jewish people. This is, of course, a reference to Italy. In other words, from a Torah perspective, when the world was created, the Italian peninsula, like the boot, right, wasn't there. It was not originally part of the European continent. It was a later addition. So the metaphor is, the euphemism is that Gavriel came and he put a rod in the ground, and then, so whether that means underground volcanic activity or however the geology or the science of it is, but the point is that from a Torah perspective, the terrain of Italy is slightly younger than the rest of the world. So, Italy is where Rome eventually gets founded, and Rome is Edom. Edom is the neighbors of Israel, living on the east side. How did they get all the way across the Iberian Peninsula? How did they get across the ocean? Whatever. There's a tradition that they boarded ships and set sail, a group of Edomites, and there's interesting stories, the legends of how Rome was founded. Romulus and whatever, there's kids playing with the wolves. There's all these the stories, but whatever, there's a lot of stories, there's some truth somewhere. There was some kind of story. The Roman nation didn't rise out of nothing, or it wasn't a typical story that was always there. It was not an ancient nation, it was a newer nation that developed, and it came from the Edomites. So the notion is that this represents the Kuf, that Kona that Gavriel, so to speak, inserts into the ocean, and then a land develops around that, that represents the leg of the Kuf, which is the opposite of Kedusha. V'hu Kona ha-Kuf ha-Nasa b'Kuf achra. V'zehu meitzel Yisrael, and that's what brings misfortune to the Jewish people. So I made your photocopies over here, just to be easy for you to understand. So a Dalid, this is your Dalid, and Dalid turning into a Hey is not hard to understand. All you have to do is add the little left foot. The Reish looks very much like the Dalit. Also, we'll see it's a little different. And what you have to add to the Reish is a left foot. Okay, that's not exactly how it is in the Sefer Torah, but close. So Dalit becomes Hey. Dalit is a letter of Kedusha, or Hey is a letter of Kedusha, and Dalit becomes through Gimel down through the secret of benefaction, through Gimel giving Dalit. Dalit becomes Hey. And Reish represents Klipa, and the Reish, when it gets fully developed, it dips below, and that's the left leg of the Kuf. So now the Friedrich Rebbe says, to understand this all from through the lenses of Chassidus, the Hinei Gimel Kavim, the three strokes of the Ois Hei represent Gimel Levushi HaNefesh, the three garments of the soul. So the soul has its, if you will, its hard drive, and it has its software, soulware. Is what the soul is. It has Es Sefiros and so on and so forth. It has a Sheresh HaNeshama. It has Naran Chai. It has all kinds of different levels. And then there's the garments of the soul. There's the operating system. So the operating system is not the actual computer itself, but there's a system that's designed for it. So we have a system that's designed for us to use. What's the operating system? Thought, speech, and deed. Machshava, dibra, maisa. So the Friedrich Rebbe is saying from a perspective of Chassidus, the hay, this top stroke of the hay, represents the idea of machshava, the idea of thought. The left leg, or the left stroke, represents the concept of dibur, of speech or communication, and then the right represents the idea of maisa, of action.
But isn't the little dot a yud?
Well, it could be a yud. Yeah, it could be.
It usually stands for chokmah.
Not when it's in the bottom of a hay. We'll soon see. The yud comes into play in a minute. So we have the idea of the three strokes representing the three faculties or abilities of the neshama. V'lochein, kona ha-smoli, hu nifsak, me'ha-shnei kavim. The left leg is separated. It's not attached. And that's lahoides, that's to indicate. Sha-ha-maise, hu nifsak, mid-midibur u-machshava. That's to indicate that action is separated from thought and even separated from speech. So people say, ah, this guy talks a lot. He could sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. He talks. He's always talking. Nothing's ever going to happen. Or this other guy, he's got dreams, a dreamer. He's got chalemas from here to Wazoo, he's dreaming. Whatever happens from it, nothing. It's just dreams. So from dreams and from talking is a huge difference between reality. And reality has to be acted on. People can have excellent ideas. People can sell the ideas, speak about them marvelously. But the real challenge is on taking the good ideas that were well communicated and implementing them, bring it into the real world. And that's not a simple thing. And there's a gap, there's a jump. It doesn't happen so seamlessly. For the good communicator, the thoughts are easily translated into a communication. But nobody has an easy time translating things into action, into the hard, real, cold reality. Not easy at all. Very difficult. It's a challenge. So that's why the hay represents this. So you have your top stroke of the hay represents all your dreams, your aspirations, your good ideas. The right leg of the hay represents this being communicated. So it comes down. It's being articulated and developed. But then it's our left leg here. There's a gap. There's a jump where the good thoughts and the nice communication are translated into action. Not a simple thing. And so the Friedrich Rebbe says, V'lochein, sorry, gam the machshava hu levush hamiyuchad, even though the machshava thought is called the garment which is close. And dibur hanefesh, and dibur is levush hanifrad, speech is already separated, so thought is very close to you. In fact, people can't stop thinking. The nature is that people's minds are always working, they're always thinking. But speech, that's already called levush hanifrad. That's called a separated garment. You have to be able to communicate something, you have to, so to speak, step outside of the way you're thinking about it, the way you understand it, and you have to be able to try to communicate that to somebody else. There's a jump there. And v'lochein, therefore, ha-machshava hurak la'atzmei. Thought is for oneself. You don't have to choreograph your thoughts. Sometimes you could think, you know, want to think things into order, but oftentimes human creativity is a jumble of different thoughts. Like waves crashing one upon the other, and that's fine. That works. If you would speak the way you think, nobody would know a word you're talking about, right? Because it will just be a jumble of words following. So what has to happen is that if a person's going to speak about it, they have to think about how they're going to communicate this. And sometimes they have to stop thinking about the way they're thinking about it altogether, and only then could they reapproach the idea, not as they think about it, how does the other person think about it? How would I communicate to somebody who's outside of me, who is beyond my own orbit? So therefore, machshava is for oneself. Communication, obviously, is for another. Once upon a time, if you talk to yourself, everybody thought you were crazy. Today, you think you're on your Bluetooth. But the notion of talking to yourself is there has to be a way for you to be speaking to somebody else, or it's just plain weird. Why would you just talk to yourself? Hine bekolze hare hadibur hu be'erech ala machshava. It's true that dibur, there's a gap between speech and between thought, but nonetheless, the speech is in some ways, it's in keeping with the notion of thought. It's not that far away. But maisa, now you're talking nifrid. Actions are really separated from you. So the words a person will use will be held against them or could make a difference. The words are separated, especially in today's day and age, we have the ability to record the words. Whereas we cannot record somebody's thoughts, but we can record the words. And once the words are spoken, once they leave your mouth, that's it. It's done. The words have left your mouth. But nonetheless, the speech comes easy. It flows from the thought or creativity. Whereas when it comes to action, there's a gap. And that's why it is that in the Seder Olamos, in the spiritual worlds, the expression is Kol HaNikra B'Shmi. Anybody who calls in my name, God says, U'lechvedi, and for my glory, three verbs that I use to describe the notion of creation. Barasev comes from the word bara, like bereshis bara, to create, to bring something into existence. Yitzartiv comes from the Hebrew word yitzira, or to form. So I first have to have matter. Once I create matter, then I can form the matter. If I have the clay, I can sculpt. If I have the wood, I can build. I have to have first the matter. If I have the pigment, I can paint. But first I have to have barasi, to be created. And then that creation, or that raw matter, is formed. And then, it's not only just formed, but it's actually completed. It's turned into something. So oftentimes, raw matter is developed. A person could have raw matter or raw bullion, and it's developed into workable material. But then the workable material is actually developed into a final product. And that's afasisiv, even made. The barasiv, the idea of barasiv is bria. That's the spiritual world of bria. That corresponds, in metaphorically, to Elom HaMachshava, to the world of thought. Yitzartiv, the world of Yitzira, corresponds to Elom HaDibur, to the world of speech or communication. Ubasiya, when it comes to action, because the word Asiya comes from like the word Ose. Ah, Oymer Af, Af. The Af, Hifsekoinyan, the word, idea of Af, separates. It's got to be a separation. It's not seamless. And Zeu HaRegel HaSmoli the Oishei, this is the left leg of the letter Hey, Shehu Meira Al HaMaisa. That's indicative of action. Okay, so that's this little excerpt. As we learned the teaching of the Arizal. The Friedrich Rebbe augmented it with a number of other teachings, a Gemara and a Medrash, and then explained it, what it means in the language of Chassidus. And it's all about our Dalad and the Hey. The focus on this part of the Maimer is how Dalad becomes a Hey, and that this is part of Kedusha. Kapish? Makes sense? Okay. So now, on the bottom of your paper, I made an excerpt, a little copy, of one part of the Maimer of Basi Ligani of Tavshin Lamed Ches, the Maimer that the Rebbe delivered in 1978, which was on the same ice, and that's what this year lines up to as well. And the Rebbe explains this idea of the difference between the Dalad and the Resh, and how the Dalad becomes a Hey. Ubiyur Ha'inyin. The explanation of this is as follows. The difference between the Dalet and the Reish, the Temunas Ha'esius Meira Al Inyonim, the Rebbe here quotes the Alter Rebbe in Sharichat Ve'emuna, that the image, the picture, the way the letter is actually formed, has a message in and of itself. So for example, on the Gimel Dalet, the Gimel has a forward, the Gimel has a leg in the front, he's walking towards the Dalet, for example. And the point is that every single letter not only represents an energy, but the energy and the story that it narrates is seen in the actual image, the actual style, the actual picture of the letter. It tells a story. So this, the difference in the Dalet and the Resh is, as he explains in the Maimer, because when you come to like the other letters which are standing on 2 feet, I understand. Okay, fine. So Aleph has two legs. Mem is flat, Tuf has two legs, Shin comes to a point, Kuf comes to a point, Resh comes to a point. But Dalet and Hey are the same thing, it would seem. They look very, very similar. So he says, the difference between the Dalet and the Resh is a Yud. Where is the Yud? On the back. So this is our Dalet, and this is the Resh. Very, very similar letters. A vertical stroke and a horizontal stroke. Right? Very easy. Looks almost the same. However, the Dalet has a Yud tacked onto the back, and the Resh has nothing tacked on the back. So the Rebbe suggests that this, the lack of the Yud, is what it's all about. What makes the Dalet different, what makes it a representation of holy, is the fact that the Yud is added on. And he says, v'nekudazu, this point, because that's what it really is, it's a dot. Hayud sh'me'acheri ha-Dalet, the dot of ink, that's found on the back of the Dalet. Hu ha-mehapeches, that is what transforms the Resh, which the Resh is Meira. What is the Resh indicative of? Or it seems to say the idea of Keil Acher. We know Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What happens, Chas V'Shalom, if the ink falls off the back of the Dalet? Acher. There's a famous story of somebody whose child ended up in a cult, and they were so distraught, and the Rebbe wrote to, sent to them to check the mezuzahs, and the mezuzah from the child's bedroom in the words Hashem, it said Hashem, not Echad, but the ink had rubbed off the back of the Dalet. It said Hashem Acher, God is another. Another. And he was worshipping another God. And when they fixed the mezuzah and did a lot of other things, eventually the child came back home. So the idea of Reish, that's used for Hashem Acher. Incidentally, there are certain letters that are written in large font in the mezuzah. One of those letters in large font is the Dalet. That's a big deal, the Dalet. Because the Dalet is Meida on Havaya Echod. There's Chas V'Shalom, Kael El Acher, and then Havaya Echod. The oneness of God or the other. Valderech Zeo Gam B'Yisrael. The Rebbe says, so it is also with regard to Yisrael, to the nation of Israel. And here, he invokes the statement which is made in the prophecies of Yeshayahu, Ve'amech Kulam Tzadikim. All of Yisrael, all of Israel, are spoken of as righteous. Tzadikim. So what do we gain from that? Well, we're talking here about God. We say the letter Resh, when it refers to God, it ends up with El Acher, another God. Dalet represents the idea of Havaya Echod. So that's how it is within divinity. So that's how it is within divinity. What does that have to do with us? This is why it has everything to do with us, because Yeshayahu Hanavi said, Va'amech kolom tzadikim. So what? Ah, but then there's another statement which is made in the Bereishis Rabbah that says, Tzadikim doimim lebeirim. Tzadikim are like Hashem. So anything which is God-like, those qualities will be found in tzadikim. Which on a very literal level means that there are certain mitzvahs, a mitzvah that we should be like Hashem. And that mitzvah of being like Hashem, a tzaddik will do all the mitzvahs. So if he does all the mitzvahs, he'll be like Hashem. It says, Mahuchanun, Afatachanun, Mahurachum, Afatarachum. God is kind, God is gracious, God is compassionate. You should be all those things. God clothes the naked. He gave clothes to Adam and Chava. You should clothe the naked. God feeds the hungry. You should feed the hungry. And so on and so forth. So we have this idea, we have this notion of whatever we're going to hear, any reality which refers to God will also, in microcosm, refer to us, to Yisrael. So if Reish is El Acher, and Dalet is Hashem Echad, then this idea must also be found with regard to every single Yid. How does it found with every Yid? How do you found this distinction between El Acher and Hashem Echad? Says the Rebbe Shal Yedei HaYud Shebahem, because the difference is that every Yid, who interestingly is called a Yid, which is a Yud, every Yud has a Yud inside him. Shebahem Moireh Al Nekudas Hayados. We oftentimes speak of what's in Yiddish called the Pintel Yid, the nuclear essence and dot of Jewishness that represents the part of the neshama that cannot be erased, that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be lost, the Pintel Yid. So the Pintel Yid is this, it refers to the Yud, because a Yud is made of a dot. Shemitzada Nefesh Hashem is B'Yisrael. This is the unique soul which Hashem gives only to Israel. Which this is described in Alter Rebbe and Tanya as a piece of God, literally. So what's the point? In other words, the difference between a Yid who's in Klipa, who's connected to idolatry, to El Acher, and the difference in a Yid who serves Hashem is the Yud. The Yud. Revealing the Neshama. Now the Rebbe says, what if the Yud is tacked onto the back? It's not front, right, and center. It's not even revealed. It's on the back side. Here's your Yud. There's a Reish. There's no Yud on the back. Your Dalet is a Yud. Where's the Yud, though? Not in front. It's in the back. So, on the back represents this idea that it's Bechinas Achorayim, what's referred to in teachers of Kabbalah as the back side. The back side is, so to speak, just like if you're having a conversation with somebody and you turn your back on them, what would that mean? That you're feeling really close? No, you're ignoring them. I turn my back on them means I'm ignoring them. So Achorayim is represents a very, very low level of what we would call, there could be something, I could be very physically close to somebody, but I turn my back on them, then it means there's a distance. And we would know that if somebody would say, like, had a good friendship, and then their friend wasn't there for them, they would say, my friend, turn my back on me. Turn my back. This is the idea of a back. So here the Yud is on the back. Hainu. The Yud here does not illuminate and resonate in an inner way. It doesn't affect, this is not a yid whose machshava, whose thoughts are fired up by Torah. This is not a yid whose communication is filled with holy words and holy ideas. And Maisa, this is not a yid who's doing all the mitzvahs. But what does he say? I'm a Jew in my heart. I feel Jewish. And what happens even? Mikom makim, mikivin shebehelu makapanim, yesh benikud azu. Since deep down, on the many surfaces, and sometimes under a lot of crust, there is ultimately this nekuda, shebekol echad v'yachad in every single one. And the Rebbe adds in the brackets, that's why the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that even kal shebekalim, the lightweight of the lightweights, the person who's least spiritually inclined, the person who feels least close to Hashem, is a lightweight. Because shebolud enisoyin, when it comes a huge test, which that test forces the person to reach into their inner courage, to find their inner spiritual metal, to overcome that challenge. When that happens, so then what we have is the idea of Mesiras Nefesh. We have absolute self-sacrifice, the highest level of devotion. Now you have to ask yourself the question, here's a Jew who didn't care about being Jewish. If he would care about being Jewish, why did he marry not Jewish? Why did he violate Shabbos? Why did he eat pork? Why did he do all these things which are wrong if he cares about being Jewish? So the answer is, he doesn't think that makes him Jewish or not. That doesn't change his Jewishness. But when it came to that big question, whether he'll turn his back on the God of Israel, it's like, you're crazy? I'm Jewish. That's Jewish. You don't think Jewish, you don't speak Jewish, you don't live Jewish, you don't do Jewish. What do you mean Jewish? What do you mean I'm Jewish? I'm Jewish. That's why I don't do that. And he's ready even to sacrifice his life. And there are many stories like this. So the Rebbe says, what do you think? Before this moment came, when he had to make this huge sacrifice, he really wasn't connected to Judaism at all? If he wasn't connected to Judaism at all, where did it come from? So really it was. Terem Shabbat Denisayin was also there. But then it's bepnimius. It's deep, deep down. Deep down, really, he wants to fulfill the words of Hashem. And that's why we have this idea that if somebody doesn't want to do a mitzvah and he gets coerced into doing it, we say it's still like he did it from wholeheartedly, with desire. Certain mitzvahs have to be done with desire, have to want to do it. They say, but he didn't want to. He said, no, he did. He really did. St. Jay did. When you kicked his tuchasin, that's what he wanted to. He said, no, the truth is, really, he wanted to. The Yetzirah didn't let him. When you gave him a little beating, this, all of a sudden, weakened the body and it let the true neshama come out. But the truth is, the coercion is not making you do something foreign. It really is who you are. It really is. So, but actually, Ratzon Zeh Behelim, this Ratzon is very, very latent. It's very, very concealed. Befrat Shadavar Baruhu, it's very clear, Shasaf, in the end, every single Jew, it says, comes home. Le'yidach imenu nidach. Every Yid will come home. Wow, every Yid will come home? Even the BDSers? Even the Yidden who actually fight Am Yisrael? Even self-hating Jews? Yep. So it says, Mashiach comes, every Jew comes home. So what does that mean? That means that tacked onto the back of every single Yid, somewhere deep down there, there's a Yud. And mitzad nekuda zu, eini b'reshus ha-sitracha. Because of this nekuda, he's not fully in the hands of the El Acher. He escapes from the El Acher. Ki im b'reshus ha-kedush, he's in the jurisdiction of holiness, he's not in the resh, he's in the dalad. The chiluk zesher bein eis resh le-dalad, the difference between the resh and the dalad, that the dalad has a yud in the back, but the resh doesn't. Ugama chiluk shebein eis hei, that's also the difference between the hei and the kuf. Because in the hay and the kuf, once again, just like the dalet has a yud in the back and the resh doesn't, so too the hay has got a yud in the back, but the kuf doesn't. So just like we talked about the difference, the Fritjab talks about the maimer, the difference in the hay and the kuf, so too, as the Rebbe explained, that's because of the yud in the back. And that represents ultimately every single yid. And this is, I guess, the challenge. This is our challenge, right? We have to find the yud. Every one of us has it. It's very hard to find it. And if we dig deep enough and work hard enough, which is the theme of Basi Ligani, is Iskafia v'Ishapcha, to crush and to redirect. So to crush the Yetzirah and to redirect one's desires that we should serve Hashem, if we do that and we do it well enough, then ultimately we'll reveal the Yud that's always there, but oftentimes hiding around the back.
Reminds me of what you said last night, the two guys coming to your house. Well, last week they weren't, this week they are showing.
So this is the idea that this gives us. It's just a small excerpt of the original Basi Ligani, a little chunk of it, and a little piece of one of the Rebbe's Basi Ligani. So that's what we did for Yitzchak.